From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, a prominent UFO researcher has passed on, but his work continues. We'll be talking about the life of William Tompkins later in the show. Here's what's happening. North Koreans Kim Jong-un has placed his foot firmly back on the gas pedal in his war of wills with us, reportedly ordering more rocket engines and warhead tips for the rogue regime's ramped-up intercontinental ballistic missile program. The state's official news agency released the report stating that the dictator ordered increased production after visiting the Chemical Material Institute of the Academy of Defense Science. Well, let's see what our reaction will be. According to medical records, a U.S. doctor who evaluated American and Canadian diplomats working in Havana diagnosed them with conditions as serious as mild traumatic brain injury and with likely damage to the central nervous system. Now, the diplomats complained about symptoms ranging from hearing loss and nausea to headaches and balance disorders after the State Department said incidents began affecting them beginning in late 2016. A source familiar with these incidents says officials are investigating whether the diplomats were targets of a type of sonic attack directed at their homes, which were provided by the Cuban government. The source says reports of more attacks affecting U.S. embassy workers on the island continue. It's a weird story. We've got a world in turmoil, folks. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com and author of Dodging the Bullet, with us. John, are we ever going to get out of this mess? Wow.
Well, you know, there's so many unstable factors. You got that attack in Barcelona that took place. You know that the war that's raging right now, hand-to-hand combat, bombing missions in Raqqa, Syria, which, by the way, the U.S. and Russia are coordinating with, so that's a good sign, at least in Syria. But, you know, I mean, this is crazy, this attack that we just heard, a sonic attack, you know, of diplomatic personnel of the U.S. That's like an act of war.
Yeah, what are they doing? What are they trying to do, if that's true?
Well, I mean, something hit them. I mean, to create those kind of symptoms, I mean, that's a form of warfare that has been talked about in comic books. And yet, it's, you know, they potentially have these microwave radiation sonic programs that can literally fry your brain. And a neurologist examining some of these people said there is brain damage, and these symptoms are real, and something happened there. So somebody's going to have to get to the bottom of it.
Absolutely. Now, I want your reaction from President Trump's speech on Afghanistan from a couple days ago.
Well, I think that what he doesn't want to do is repeat the mistake in Iraq where Obama, you know, pulled out U.S. forces December 15th, 2011. 2 years later, ISIS was on the rise. A year after that, in 2014, they took over 30% of sovereign territory in Iraq and Syria. And we all know the headaches that has been caused by ISIS. You have more terrorist groups that are fed and harbored by the Taliban. Remember, George, in 2001, Operation Enduring Freedom, when we went over there, it was to really get Osama bin Laden when Mohammed Mullah Omar of the Taliban refused to turn over bin Laden to the U.S. after September 11th. So now you have the possibility that the Taliban, which is going on now, a 16-year insurgency, is taking over a very weak government in Kabul, and they've always had a problem of infiltration of Taliban members and family members in the U.S.-backed Afghan army. So if the U.S. doesn't surge troops in Afghanistan, and, you know, there's opposition to this right now in the U.S. Congress, especially among Democrats, if they don't surge the troops, then it's likely there'll be a Taliban takeover of the Kabul government, which would mean that terrorist groups would thrive once again, just like bin Laden's did before September 11th.
Track John's work, onlinecolumnist.com. You won't believe this story. A Saudi Arabian teenager dancing to a song is arrested after the video goes viral. Now, here's the song. Okay, so he's been arrested after stopping traffic to film a dance video to this song, the Macarena. It was released, and he was finally released by the Saudi kingdom with a warning about road safety after the story in the clip went viral. It's a 45-second video. He's 14 years old. He was wearing headphones, gray sweat shorts, a striped T-shirt, a neon green and yellow Crocs, and he was just dancing to that song, and they put him away. Unbelievable. New U.S. single-family home sales unexpectedly fell in July, dropping to their lowest in 7 months amid a surge in prices, raising concerns of a slowdown in the housing market recovery. And a lot of experts on Wall Street are talking about the stock market, saying it might be a little too inflated. With an eye on the future of online retailing, Walmart and Google are teaming up to go after rival Amazon. Starting next month, Walmart customers will be able to access hundreds of thousands of products from the company's shelves, everything from dishwashing soap to dining tables, via the online retailing service Google Express. Until now, Walmart's enormous inventory was available online only through the company's own website. Lauren Weinstein, man, you might as well pick up an office here at Coast to Coast, Lauren. We need you every night these days.
The stories just keep on coming, don't
they? My gosh. Now, tell me about your reaction to Walmart and Google teaming up to go after Amazon.
Yeah, this is a pretty logical kind of development. I mean, Amazon has had such a large chunk of this space for so long, it makes a great deal of sense for Google to want a piece of the action here. And Walmart seems like, in terms of the scale, if you're going to be dealing with anything approaching Amazon scale, Walmart seems like a reasonable way to do that. It's always the devil's always in the details, right? I mean, it's how this is deployed, how this is done. I noticed that in the press releases about this, there's a lot of discussion about voice ordering over Google Assistant and Google Home. And that's something that's very interesting to me, because I think in the future that's going to be a very, very important way that people communicate to order all kinds of things.
Sure.
Right now, I think it's tougher to make the use case. I was kind of thinking, what would I want to order by voice right now? And it's a pretty limited set. So I think what's going on is that Google and Walmart are just kind of putting their big toe into the waters on this now in kind of a big way. To see what happens. I think that a year from now, and certainly 3 or 4 years from now, it could look very different. But I think this is part of that reshaping of the retail marketplace vis-a-vis the online marketplace that you and I are talking about so frequently now.
And Lauren, is anybody really going to topple Amazon? They're pretty entrenched.
It looks difficult. But what I like to remind people is back in the old days when I was dealing with companies that don't exist anymore, like Digital Equipment Corporation, which built the mini computers on which the ARPANET was created and seemed like it was going to control the world at one point, most people don't even remember that they exist anymore. So no matter how big the company is, no matter how entrenched they seem to be, when you're dealing with technology that changes as fast as internet technology and computer technology, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it could all look very different.
You got that right. Lauren, thank you so much. $759 million. That's the current lottery. It's the second largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history. I don't think anybody won the draw tonight. But check your tickets, because guess what? Billions of dollars go unclaimed in prizes every year, unclaimed. Billions of dollars. Americans forego about $2 billion in unclaimed prizes each year. That's unbelievable. In a moment, we're going to talk about world events that affect all of us with Craig Hewlett next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast for the next couple hours. Craig Hewlett with us. We're going to talk about world events. He, of course, has been a speechwriter, a special assistant to congressmen. He has been a consultant to law enforcement, remains a paid analyst and consultant in various geopolitical, business, and security issues. We turn to him a lot during all these special things that are going on this planet. His book is called The Hydra of Carnage. And Craig, good to have you back. And my gosh, I don't know. What a world, huh?
Yeah, you could put it that way. It's interesting from my standpoint, but it really isn't something that we're enjoying any longer. This used to be more fun than it is now, but that just comes with the territory and getting old, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm, for myself personally, I'm taking everything with a grain of salt these days, reporting on it, doing the best I can, bringing in people like you to comment. But I'm not going to let it upset me anymore because it's not worth it.
Well, there's nothing that can be done either. And I think that's probably the most important part of what I've been doing for 35, almost 40 years now. And if I didn't have a paid client base that paid me to do this work and to keep them well informed, which also puts an obligation on me that I don't have the luxury of making mistakes or being wrong, but without them, I think I would have quit doing this a long time ago. I wouldn't do it in the public's behalf the way I do it today if I didn't have a client base that makes it worthwhile, but also... You know, we're living in a time where, you know, Donald Trump keeps calling things fake news, and then the news reporters argue with each other about who's lying and who's not lying. And frankly, I'm bored to death with all of it. I've never trusted the mainstream media, and I don't think there's any reason to ever believe the mainstream media when six giant multinational corporations that are monopoly corporations that hate competition orchestrate everything we read, see, and hear. The fact is, I don't listen to the news at all. I don't tune into CNN. I don't even have a television hooked up. I don't want to hear anything they have.
Well, you know, in our earlier days, especially mine, Craig, you know, when I would watch Walter Cronkite in my younger days, in my 20s and 30s, you know, there was a guy, that was a news guy who stayed impartial. You didn't know who he supported. You didn't know his thoughts on special views. And the only time I ever saw him get emotional was 1963 when he cried when John F. Kennedy was killed.
Yes.
But, I mean, those were news people.
And there were great ones. Dan Rather is still, in my opinion, he's the greatest one that America has ever produced, starting with his Vietnam reporting as a war correspondent, right up to the bitter end with CBS and 60 Minutes and all the ugliness that surrounded him when he had to leave. But the truth is, I don't think the American people really want that kind of news any longer. I can tell you just from my work that I don't think it's depressing, okay? This is what I do for a living. I don't think I could do, even if I weren't doing interviews with you and other hosts around the country or our client base where I produce papers for them, if I wasn't doing that, I would still be reading this source material. It interests me. It bothers me that so many Americans aren't interested in any kind of a reality check. I think most of them do enjoy and they prefer to be lied to be entertained. And I think that's going to be our downfall in the long run. Oh, what am I saying? I don't think America is America the way Americans think already.
Well, when people wake up, not everybody, of course, but when they wake up and the big moment for them is to find out what President Trump has tweeted, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, that's very sad. And the fact that he does that, that's even sad.
Yes, absolutely.
The fact that he wants to have his own television network news entity created by the Trump machine while he's president of the United States is just, it's not just audacious, it's bordering on criminal.
It sounds like state-run television, doesn't it?
That's exactly what it would be.
Jeez.
To stand up there and constantly tell the reporters that they're liars and this is getting old, in my opinion. You know, we're talking about North Korea, and we're talking about Afghanistan. Right now, these are the most important things. And nobody wants to bring up the subject that Donald Trump is on vacation again. He calls it a working vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be playing golf for 12 more days, and he hasn't even taken the time to appoint the ambassador to Korea, South Korea, or Afghanistan.
What's...
In fact, he hasn't appointed 700 positions in the diplomatic corps.
I'm starting to see reports from investigators and reporters questioning his mental sanity. Is that legitimate?
When psychiatrists do it, yes. The psychiatrists that are students at Yale University, John Hopkins University, the medical center, the head of the psychiatric department, Deepak Chopra, which, you know, he's more of an entertaining kind of a
right.
psychiatrist. But, yeah, they're all saying that there's something wrong with him. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with Donald Trump that we haven't seen before. Okay?
Right.
George Bush Jr. was a narcissist. So when you look at Donald Trump, it doesn't surprise me that this man is who he is and acts the way he does. But that isn't the problem. That's not the problem. Oliver Stone did a four-part interview with Vladimir Putin over a two-year period of time. In the last interview with Putin, Putin said one thing that I don't think the American people would even believe it. They wouldn't understand it, what he said. But when he was pressed by Oliver to say something regarding Trump. Did you help Trump? Did you want to see? Are you friends with Trump? He had no interest in even bothering himself with that. And he said one thing that was very clear to me. He said it doesn't matter who the president is in the United States. We don't care. We simply don't care because no matter who's the president, nothing's going to change.
Do you believe that?
Absolutely. And I believe Trump is proving it again. I believed it when Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush, all of them were presidents. Nothing changes on the issues that matter because we are no longer a free republic based on democratic principles to the degree the American people believe. We are, in fact, and it's been now proven by dozens of scientists that are learning to use technology different, that we are, in fact, an oligarchy.
Would he have said
perfectly well what that means if you study it at all?
Would he have said the same thing if Reagan were in office?
Absolutely.
He would have.
Yeah. Then the point is it's true. Nothing's going to change. I don't care what Obama, Trump, George Jr., I don't care what any of them say when they're campaigning. That's irrelevant. That's to get votes. So to see them laying out a plan for the United States and saying this is what we're going to do, I can tell you right now, none of what they say in a campaign is going to get done. It's going to get done, whatever gets done. And as FDR said, nothing happens in government by accident. It was planned.
What is your take, Craig, on the apparent chaos in the White House in terms of executive staff members? I mean, Flynn is out. Scaramucci is out. Spicer is out.
I don't understand how people think you can run a government like a corporation. We heard that from Ross Perot and others. You can't run the government like it's a corporation. That's just stupid. Anybody to even think that way means you know nothing about corporations or how they're run, and you know nothing about government. You cannot do that. And Trump is trying to do that. If he get on his nerve, he has to fire people. He's not so crazy about hiring people, but he sure likes to fire people. And I never watched his show. That I don't have television. I don't watch
The Apprentice. Yeah,
but I'm told now that that's what his reality TV show was. It was him firing people on the show and telling them that their ideas were stupid, so you have to go away. And if he liked your ideas, he would say, "I'll hire you." Now that's for entertainment, but you can't do this in government. You know, when you become president, you have to do something, whether you like it or not. You have to appoint people to the positions that are vacated by the outgoing administration.
Yes.
He's sitting there and allowing hundreds of seats to be unfilled, including the ambassador to Afghanistan and South Korea, in the middle of what we're facing right now in Afghanistan and with North Korea. This guy's out on the golf cart. How hard would it be for me to select two people?
Oh, you could do everything in a week.
It's absurd to me that he's not doing that, but it also proves my argument of 35 years. We live in an oligarchy, It's a global corporate regime that runs the world, tries to run the world, and dominates our governing system. It is not the government you think it is.
Not at all. Craig, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back for more. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with you. Tom, by the way, has let me know that there was now a single winning Powerball ticket valued at $758.7 million sold in Massachusetts. Somebody there has it. My uncle lives there. I wonder if he has it. We'll be back in a moment with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us. Craig, let's talk about North Korea. And, of course, Kim Jong-un backed down a little bit. He did not launch missiles toward Guam. But who knows what the guy's capable of doing. And, meanwhile, he continues with his nuke program. What are we going to do?
Well, I don't think we really have to do anything. I mean, there's nothing has changed in the mutual assured destruction doctrine and a canopy of defensive missile systems. We're prepared to have a nuclear route with China or Russia. So really, is North Korea really a threat? Absolutely not. And there's another reason I don't think they're going to do anything about South Korea. There's 50,000 American troops there, and they are probably the best trained troops positioned in any place else in the world other than Germany. So this is the same blustering, loudmouth nonsense that his father did before him, and he will continue to do. And when he's replaced, there'll be another one doing it. It isn't even for the American press. I don't know why we look at it the way we do, except it sells newspapers, because he's doing it for his people.
Sure. Now, what about the
control his people?
Right. Exactly. He wants to look like the big shot.
Exactly.
But what if he does indeed get nukes if he doesn't have them already? Isn't that a concern?
No, I don't think it is, because, first of all, we count on China to keep him under control, and he knows that. If he were to exploit that area, China would probably swat him like a fly, because China does not intend to see anybody disrupt the global economy when they're very much a part of the very corporate regime I've been talking about for 30 years. They know where the side of their bread is buttered or whatever. They know what they're doing. China's not stupid. They're not going to let anything like that happen. He's doing it to impress his people and look like he's still in control of this last standing, silly communist regime.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
The real question I have for the American people is why do the American people no longer care to read research, read nonfiction books on politics and government, and why are we now becoming one of the largest illiterate countries on the planet when we have nothing but access to knowledge-based material? Because we're never leaving Afghanistan, the Middle East, North Africa.
Nope.
We will never leave.
There's no exit plan.
No exit plan. And when they asked Rodriguez, when he first founded AFRICOM in the African continent, that was 6-8 years ago when they started talking about, it was actually Rumsfeld's idea while George Bush Jr. Was still in the White House. But if you ask any of the commanders what the exit strategy is, they will admit we don't have one. Because we're not in Afghanistan about terrorism. We didn't go there about bin Laden. I know that's what we were told, but if you still believe that nonsense, then you're not doing any reading or research about anything that matters.
Well, because
we're only in Afghanistan for raw material.
Exactly. If we were there for just bin Laden, we would have left a long time ago, especially after we finally got the guy.
Yeah, and the fact was he wasn't even there. He was in Pakistan for six of those years.
Yeah, once he got out of Bora Bora or Tora Bora, whatever it's called, those mountains, he was gone.
And who still believes bin Laden did 9/11? Who believes that still, except very, very stupid people? Nobody in government believes that. And if they say it, they know they're lying. But they don't believe it. Like George Bush Sr. knows bin Laden didn't perpetrate 9/11. And George Bush Sr. knows that Oswald didn't kill Kennedy. But he's going to go along and say it because that's what they all want to believe, mm-hmm. for you to believe. We're there for $3 trillion worth of raw materials in pipelines, oil, lithium, cadmium. J.P. Morgan Chase discovered gold in Iraq within the first year we were there.
Jeez.
We went in the very first year. They were already there.
And what about the increased poppy seed production?
Again, the Taliban had completely obliterated poppy growing in Afghanistan when they were in charge. In fact, that was the year when 9/11 happened that they were simultaneously getting an award from the United Nations for completely wiping out poppy production in Afghanistan.
Which is how you make heroin, right?
Which is how you make heroin. Now, I have over 100 photographs of American military personnel guarding poppy crops.
Guarding the crops.
Guarding the crops.
My
making sure that nothing
God.
Happens to the crops.
Who's making the money on this, Greg?
Well, okay, here's the trick. When everybody still thinks America is the America you believe, okay, $16 billion has been targeted to go to Afghanistan as charity. We're helping them, okay? We're giving them the money. We're using tax dollars.
And whatever they do with it, God knows what.
Because we care so much about them. Well, that money is going to go to the government that's going to take that money and give it to companies like DynCorp, which is why Steven Feinberg was at the White House recently. Steven Feinberg is the president of DynCorp. It's one of the largest security companies that operates in foreign lands, protecting what? Pipelines and mining industry.
And assets, yep.
So the money goes to Afghanistan, and then a chunk of it goes to Feinberg at DynCorp and all the other corporations that are lining up to bid contracts to do the mining. We are never going to leave Afghanistan. Now, here's the ringer. Everybody's talking about it in the media that we're somehow going to boost the economy of Afghanistan.
No.
Well, I ask you, look at every single country America has done this in and tell me who's benefited. Besides the corporations that make a ton of money and they're protected by an insurance program that you and I pay into. So if the pipeline gets blown up in Afghanistan, the federal government pays with your money, tax dollars, pays to fix it and sends in Kellogg, Brown, and Root, and Halliburton. Nobody loses. It's a guaranteed win for the corporations that bribe the authorities to get the contracts. That's all that's going on.
This October, 16 years in Afghanistan, our longest involvement anywhere.
And the first argument about fighting terrorism comes from Paul Pillar from the CIA, who was the head of the terrorism desk at the CIA when 9/11 took place. His book was already out by then. And he said, if you want to fight a war on terrorism, you're going to lose. You cannot defeat terrorism with a conventional army. It's
nope.
not possible,
nope.
and it's never happened. In fact, guerrilla warfare is what I started calling it in the Hydra. That's why I changed the argument. This isn't terrorism in the customary language of terrorism. We're fighting something completely different. It's international, it's global, it's organized, and it's a guerrilla warfare style movement. They're never going to stand and fight a conventional army. That's not what they do.
Well, and what we're doing is we're fighting hate because they hate us so much because we're involved in every other country.
Because we keep killing the mothers and the fathers and the sisters and the brothers, and we don't care. We call it collateral damage. I'm telling you, you cannot defeat a guerrilla army with a conventional military.
No, look what Castro did to Batista. They couldn't stop him.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Che Guevara's book teaches very specifically to defeat a country and its military is you do it guerrilla style, hit and run, and the first rule of guerrilla warfare is to survive. Nothing else. First rule, survive. Second rule, it's a protracted war. They call it the war of the flea. And I use those works in the Hydra of Carnage to explain what we're dealing with. You'll never defeat them. Every time you kill one mother, you create 10 terrorists.
That's right.
Well, they're an insurgency. They're not terrorism the way you think of terrorism. There are terrorists. They still exist. But that's not what's going on. And when Che Guevara said you fight a protracted war against the conventional army to win.
You're going to win that.
Why are we then practicing as a protracted war against a guerrilla war that we know we can't win? Well, because nobody wants to win it. We want the raw materials. We want the mining interests. We want the oil, the gold, the silver, the lithium. We want that stuff. Our corporations, Western corporations, monopoly corporations that hate competition, want that stuff. It's theirs. They believe they have a right to it, and nobody in Afghanistan is going to make any money or increase their living standards.
Now, here's an interesting... Nobody cares. Why are we being allowed to do this? Because we're in Afghanistan, we're in Iraq, we're in Syria, we're in South Korea.
We're 130 nations.
We're all over the place. And,
right.
And why hasn't somebody tried... Look, if Russia did this, or if China did what we do, we'd step in.
Yes. We would argue that they were being imperialistic, colonialistic. They were acting like the Middle Ages. They were acting like Great Britain, which I'm unfortunately having to say that's my country doing that, not somewhere else. This is my
country. Why aren't they trying to stop us?
Who?
Russia, China together.
Oh, well, first of all, China doesn't care what we do because they're in business with those same corporations that we're discussing. Without China, some of those raw materials would never get mined and produced. In fact, there's some materials, they call it different kinds of names. I can't even think of the names right now, but lithium, for instance. China is one of the only countries that knows how to mine it and synthesize it and produce it. It's not an American corporation, it's the Chinese. So we're in bed with the Chinese doing that, and all the Chinese corporations, whether they're state-run or private, same with Russia, are all in bed with the Western corporations doing this as well.
So they don't care.
They don't care. You know, I've used Archer Daniels Midland for almost 20 years when he was interviewed on 2020. Archer Daniels Midland Corporation.
Huge company.
Andreas was the CEO. And they asked him, point blank, you produce more foodstuffs than any other corporation in the world. He said, that's absolutely correct. And he said, our friends are our consumers, and our enemies are competition. The interviewer asked, well, since you produce all this food, why can't you feed the people starving in Africa? He didn't even blink. He said, they don't have any money.
That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Nobody has any interest in stopping this corporate takeover of our own government because those corporations buy our congressmen and senators.
You are also concerned about what you call a new covert action of agents infiltrating the internet and talk shows. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, it comes from Snowden's cache of... incredible cache of documents. They won't get through all of it for years. And Glenn Greenwald is doing the best he can, but not very many people are interested in what Snowden has to say any longer either.
Most of them have forgotten who he is.
Yeah, and then there's a few people out there still saying that he's a traitor, he should be arrested. I think he's one of the greatest heroes in American history because he's exposed that our own government is no longer operating in the interest of the American people. I started calling our congressmen and senators. I do a show every month in Washington, D.C. during drive time, and I keep calling out congressmen and senators, drive time in D.C. I keep calling them out. It's the Carl Nelson Show, WOL Radio.
Right.
And all the time, every show, every chance I get, I call the congressmen and senators contractors, security contractors, no different than Blackwater. Okay?
Yeah.
They work for the corporations that hired them and put them in office. You didn't put anybody in office. They did. They told you who you get to vote for. They bought them. They're paid for. And they work for the interests of those corporations. Otherwise, why would they allow the Constitution to be violated by them and turning over their functions in governing this country's economy and money system to those very corporations that are building a corporate empire that has no interest in helping America? Donald Trump doesn't understand any of what I just said. Does it bother me that he doesn't understand it?
Doesn't understand it or doesn't believe you?
He doesn't understand it. The reason that whole thing fell apart with the business leaders is Donald Trump thought he was talking to men that respected him as a business leader. They don't.
Boy, they left in droves.
What he does for business is a joke when it comes to Exxon, Microsoft, Archer Daniels Midland. Okay, Donald Trump's a joke for a business.
Well, but he, you know, he got elected because people couldn't stand politicians. They definitely didn't want Hillary.
No, but the same thing happened in Weimar Germany. That's why they voted for Hitler.
They did vote for Hitler.
Yes, 43% of the 1 million communists.
And they followed him too.
When you're facing a system that is as corrupt as ours is now on the issues that matter, and that's the only thing I talk about. I only talk about issues that matter to them, the corporate regime.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about moral issues and things that the American people argue and fight over. I don't care about abortion. I really don't. It doesn't make any difference to me because, first of all, I'm a man, and I don't think men should be discussing that issue. I think women can discuss it,
right.
And that's fine.
But it's
not an issue that troubles Exxon or Archer Daniels Midland or Nestle's. So if you want to talk about who's going to seize control of all the water in the African continent, one of those corporations will be Nestle's. Now, I know they have a fine reputation. They make wonderful chocolates, but they're also one of the most ruthless global corporations on the planet. And they want the water. There will be wars over water.
No doubt about
that.
Oil. No doubt about drinking type water.
Yes.
Yep.
And they want to control it. They literally think they have the right to control all of these things. They also believe they're businessmen. I did business with them before I started this company. I did business with Exxon, Weyerhaeuser, U.S. Home, the largest home builder in the world. The men that run those corporations are not like anything you'll ever meet. If you've never met them, you don't really know who we're talking about. That's why when Donald Trump thought he could put a bunch of them in the room and he could tell them what to do, it fell apart immediately.
Oh, my. They all walked out.
Yeah. And you know what he said later? I fired him. Oh, excuse me. You didn't hire anybody to begin with. So you didn't fire anybody. But they walked out because he thought he could talk to them the way he talks to you and I.
Let me ask you this before the top of the hour, Craig. We'll take calls with you next hour. Do you see, if things continue the way they are right now, do you see other stronger Republicans running against him in the primaries?
I think there's going to be Democrats that vote Republican in the primaries. Democrats will vote Republican in the primaries to try to get rid of him, yes. And there's already leadership in the Republican Party planning to do exactly that.
I think
he, in fact, is not fit to rule. It's not even a criticism of him personally.
I've got to tell you, I've never heard you this vocal about him. You know, we've been talking. He's been in office 8 months. Did you expect more?
No, I didn't. I didn't expect anything. I already know who he is. I spent 35 years being an analyst for corporations. You think I don't know who Donald Trump is?
Yeah.
I've always known who he is. He is not fit to run the country, but I understand why they voted for him. It was as much a vote against Hillary,
that's right,
Obama, George Jr.,
and other politicians.
Yes, for
absolutely. Right. Craig, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more and phone calls next. Fiery hour right here on Coast to Coast AM.